have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Media. It is Monday here in the United States, and for those who are living in St. Louis, the 314 area code, this is 314 day. So we hope you went out and got your White Castles, your Chinaman rice, your St. Paul sandwich, your best soda, your chips, whatever it is, your emo pizza. This is our day, St. Louis 314 day. And for you mathematicians, 314 is your pi day. So we just wanted to just do a shout out for that right now. We are on the Jot Us Alive broadcast globally across social media platforms and Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Cynthia R. Bennett. And here on the Blog Podcast, we talk about issues dealing with abuse and neglect awareness, provide resources, and to offer hope through educating, edifying, and encouraging in our community, locally and globally. I want to thank you, our viewers and our listeners, and ask that if this podcast is helping you or assist you and your family, your friends, or your associates, the Jot Us organization is asking you to take time and go to our website and our social media pages to see the causes we raise for women and children. We want you to please to be sure and to like and share. Like and share our page. Like and share our page. Forward it to somebody on your timeline, because you never know who may need this empty announcement. I'm excited about what is going on in the organization, and just doors are opening. Some of the things I'll reveal as we get closer, but some of the things I want to put out now for the announcements. So I'm just going to share some of our announcements right now. I'm going to add it to the stream. As you know, we have our weekly closed support group session, Sister Sis, and it is on Wednesdays. Currently, it is on Zoom until we feel more safe, or if it's more safer to actually go into the building. If you want to be a part of this, this is on Zoom again on Wednesdays from 7 to 8 o'clock. Now, we are available for anyone to come on. We will not open up the Zoom session. So if you or you know somebody who would like to be a part of this, we just ask you for security reasons to attend or to call the 1-800 number on the flyer or email us at info@jotus.org before the group starts, preferably no later than 12 p.m. on Wednesday, so we can actually get ourselves situated and make sure that we have all our security measures in place where we can forward the information to you to make sure we have the right person. That way we're safe, you're safe, and we can be free to share and to assist and to encourage. Okay? So that is this Sister Sis group, weekly support group session on Wednesdays from 7. Some wonderful, wonderful girls in our spring developer class. The session has already started. We are now going into our third Saturday. So for those who still want to be a part of this, or who have some type of interest, or you or your family or some friends, your neighbors, your nieces, your cousins that may have some interest in this workshop, Here is the Summer 2022 Developer Workshop. It is already out on our website. You can go out there and register your daughter or your niece or your friend or your cousin or something, you know, a female from ages 10 to 19. As you know, this is a workshop that teaches about entrepreneurship and to create your mobile app. And then at the end of the workshop, we ask the parents to come out, and then we also give them a certificate. And we also give them a $50 gift certificate because we are investing into their company, investing into their entrepreneurship. So this is a great cause. We ask you to go out on our website, jonathan.org, and look at it. It is the yellow flyer that says Summer 2022 Developer, and we are already opening up now. So get your seat because we are going to make sure we're going to stay within the CDC guidelines. So we're going to have limited seating. But you want to get your seat, go out and register, okay? You all, we've been waiting on this. You know, we postponed it last year because we was in the middle of the, I forgot which variant it was. We was in the middle of a variant, and so we decided bring any harm to ourselves or to any anyone that would come. So this is our annual fundraiser. It's Jonathan and Balcom's Life Celebration Center. It's called the Many Shades of Chuck. Many Shades of Chuck. Whatever color Chuck tennis shoes you have, you wear them. You can dress up. You can dress down. Shades is going to be in the summer, June 11th from 2 to 5 p.m. It is going to be at the 417 Adams Street Mansion in Ferguson, Missouri. If you have never been over there in the old part of the historic part of Ferguson, it is Ferguson. It is beautiful over there. So our event, the Many Shades of Chuck, is a fundraiser. The proceeds will go to programming and services to help domestic abuse. We will have a live band, comedians, spoken word. We will have a scavenger hunt. We will have live auction of baskets. And, of course, we will be heavy on the hors d'oeuvres. And we are asking you to support this. We're going to constantly put this out there, and we're going to put it out on Facebook starting next week, but I want to make sure you all get this. Many Shades of Chuck. Put it on your calendar, June 11, 2022, from 2 to 5. We will be right there smack in the summer, in the hot part of the day, in the sunny part of the day. And we wanted it like that because we want you to come out in your different shades of Chuck tennis shoes, and you put on some shades. And we are going to have a wonderful time at the 417th Adams Street Mansion. This is a beautiful location, and now I'll walk, run against abuse. We're letting you know, mark this date, 10-8-2022, October the 8th. We already have the park. We have everything done. We just want you to put it on your calendar to be a part. 10-8-2022, it is going to be out here in North St. Louis County. We are going to have all the municipalities in North St. Louis County that's going to be there. They're participating. They're being a part of this. We're having the families come out, the bounce houses, the race, all of the things, the food trucks. This is going to be an awesome event. We are targeting churches again. We are going back with Work With Us, everybody in the North community, because we know there has been so many issues. Did not have the race last year. Year before last year we did a virtual, but we are coming back out, and we're coming back out strong, and we're going to be ready for October 8th, 2022. It is going to be at the Bell Fountain Park in Bell Fountain, Alpha 270 in Chambers. You guys, I'm telling you, that is the actual park that's on this flyer. We went out there and took this picture. It is the actual park, a beautiful park with a lake inside. I didn't even know it had a lake. But we have so much in store and prepared. And so we want you to mark your calendars for this day because we are going to be opening up registrations immediately after our June event. The June event is June 11th. June the 12th, we'll see announcements with you and get back to this most important topic. All the topics we talk about is important because it's about helping those in the community dealing with abuse and neglect. Coming from those households with resources. So everything is important. But I just am so elated about this because tonight I just want to talk about the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act. We call it the VAWA Act, and the importance of getting this act passed. That it is so It was so important. You guys do not know the struggle and the creativity and the things that people had to do. And we're going to talk about that. It's Congress has renewed. It renewed from 1990 era law that 3 years was left. That means something happened and they didn't get it passed. And so the funding was limited and they had taken money out and didn't have as much money in this fund to help people. So now it has passed the Congress, and it is expected to be signed by the end of this week by President Joe Biden. Yay, Joe. Uncle Joe. Yes, yes, that's what we need. If you remember, back in the summer, I got on Facebook live outside of my office, and I pulled leaders to push this Bauer Act to get it passed. Why? Because we as advocates, we were trying everything we knew from a legal point, from an educational aspect, and creative ways to continue to meet the needs of victims and their families who was dealing with abuse. We was trying to do all kind of things to continue, because regardless they was holding up the money or we didn't get the money or whatever the reason, the abuse still was going on, things were still happening. And we were trying to find creative ways, even during the shutdown. What we do, we started this podcast out of the shutdown because we were still trying to find creative to meet the needs of survivors and their families. They're going through that. And so we're so happy about this act being passed, because during this process, there has been many, many, you guys don't know, there has been many, many organizations and a lot in St. Louis, the metropolitan St. Louis area, who have closed their doors because of lack of funding. If they haven't closed their doors, they streamlined their program because there was simply not enough funding. If you go to the MoCAV website, we always talk about the thousands of numbers of people whose services have been met. But then there's a numbers of people whose services were not met. It was still a big number. If we got 8,000 people, there were 6,000 that still didn't get the services they need because of funding. The money just wasn't there. You can only stretch so much. You can only stretch so much to try to help, you know, to continue to help people. And it was just hurting to me. And I'm going to share a little bit down the road later on in a few minutes about what we're doing to try to help. This is a win-win situation, you guys. This is a win-win situation by having this Bauer Act passed. Advocates, survivors, their families, and the community. This is a win-win situation because efforts to combat dating, violence, sexual assault, and stalking. This bill is going to help with programs. So even though we got this passed, of course, the Democrats had to make some concessions. But their biggest one was stripping out the gun safety provision that would have prohibit people who have been convicted of abusing their dating partner from owning firearms. Closing the quote-unquote boyfriend loophole. You know, we all know that we have been getting an uptick in cases with domestic violence dealing with firearms and handguns, right? So in order to get that bill passed, the Democrats had to take that out because the National Rifle, whatever it is, the National, I'll figure it out, but abusive ex-boyfriends and convicted stalkers can get access to purchase guns. Now, that was an amendment that was passed. It only keeps the guns out of the hands of convicted domestic abusers who were currently or who were at one time married to the person, who were parents of the person, who lived with the person, or who had children. Now, if you was a boyfriend and you was never married to that person, you didn't have no kids by that person, and you was abusing them, somehow you fell through the loophole. It was only for married folks and people that had kids and stuff. And so that means stalkers and your boyfriend, your current or your former boyfriend, to still buy or own a gun, even if they had been convicted of domestic violence. That was a loophole that they tried to throw in the bill. So, you know, any kind of restrictions dealing with gun access, and I'm not trying to get political here at all, but, you know, it is what it is. Any kind of restrictions on gun access, the Republicans and the National Rifle Association, the NRA, I couldn't think of that. The Republicans and the National Rifle Association, among other gun rights groups, opposed the provision. So they had to take it out in order to make sure they get this money. So, you know, you had to do what you had to do, the lesser of two evils. But, however, I agree with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. VAWA was the most important law passed by Congress in the last 30 years. I agree with that because so much is going on. It is just unreal. So much is going on. It almost can make your head spin because you're trying to keep up with what's going on and issues here. And I have a RSSP on our Jonathan website where it talks about it just rolls all day, 24/7. All day. Anything that's dealing with domestic violence, domestic issues, resources, laws surrounding domestic violence, I get that RSS revolving. Stuff is going on by not the minute, the second. So this law is very important. This act, I'm sorry, is very important, and it is so, I'm so elated to know that it is getting passed. And hopefully some of the organizations that had to shut down, maybe they can go back and apply so they can help the people, because one organization just can't do it. It's just too big. This epidemic is so massive, and it involves so many levels, and it's been around for so long. It's going to take a community of people, not only with just child abuse, wow, I'm getting so excited, I'm getting tongue-tied. It assists with child abuse, stalking, sex trafficking, the LGBTQ survivors of violence, and Native women victims of violence, among other vulnerable groups. And with more than 84% of Indigenous women experience violence in their lifetime. You may not remember, but not too long ago, I did a podcast about the ongoing crisis of Native American women who were being abused and murdered and simply disappearing, and nothing was being done, or I won't say nothing was being done, turnaround for getting those cases solved or finding out where those women were, really came to light, and it was highlighted when there was such a quick turnaround. And I'm not getting racial here, but because there was such a quick turnaround and investigative measures in the Gabby Petito case. That's when all of that came out about, and I'm pretty sure they've been knowing this about the Native women long before that, but it really came out to light when they had that issue with Gabby Petito. They found out, you know, she had been abused. They found out all the stuff. They found out who she was, what happened to her, and all that stuff. And then you still had Indigenous women who had been through the years and murdered and disappeared, and people to this day are still wondering where their loved ones are. Why is nobody looking for them? Why is the case going cold on them? And so, you know, this act allows for funding to help in that area as well. So it is a good thing. I am so excited. I almost cried today. I really did, you all, because I was like, oh, thank you. You know, because you can only do so much. You know, you can only do so much with what you have. And you try to stretch and stretch and pull, and you try to, you know, make do. And, you know, women are really resourceful. You know, most women are really resourceful. You know, we can make a dollar out of 99 cents, or however that went, dollar out of 15 cents. We are really resourceful. We can be. But you can only do so much for so long. You know, you can only do so much. So, how does this Reauthorization Act affect us in the United States community? I know this is a global podcast, and so, but this is still some news that we can still even talk about globally, because abuse is abuse, you know, and it's something maybe other people could, you know, ask their constituents, their politicians, or raise the awareness, or raise, you know what, just even raise the question to have a conversation, you know, because we're global. We're going to help everybody around the levels. I just can't wait to tell you, share with you all what's going on. But you, if you can hear all that stuff downstairs, that is our new studio. So I'm excited about that. So how does this Reauthorization Act affect us in our community? This grant funds crisis intervention program. That is crisis, you know, somebody coming to you, they need resources, they need some place to stay, they need gas money, they need transportation, escape plans, training of that sort. They need emergency toiletries and supplies, food, you know, those things, crisis intervention programs. This grant also funds transitional housing. Those that are in transition, you may be in a shelter, transitional home. You can't go to a transitional home off the street. So that is funding to help with transitional housing, because a lot of people, you know the shelter is not made to be in there for long term. That's not really what shelters are for. It's for to transition you from coming out of an abusive environment, getting your thoughts together, your mind together, getting yourself together, trying to recollect your thoughts and stuff, and so you can move on and transition to the next place. It is not to be in a shelter for a year and two. That is not what shelter should be for. So they have grants. This grant is also funding transitional housing. It's also funding legal assistance to victims. If you need to go, I guess you need to go to, and maybe, you know, see about, you know, filling out court documents, whatever those issues or whatever those things you need from the legal aspect, there is grant money. This grant funds that as well. And then it also strengthens rape prevention, the training. It's dealing with the judicial system and training law enforcement in the court. This is really a big deal, because I am in talk with several municipalities, and we've been talking about just that. We have been talking about that, because policemen, law enforcement, they and the dispatchers, they are the first responders that get that call. They are the first recent violence situation, and they got to go to their call. So we're talking about that. This funding allows for training law enforcement in the courts, the judicial system. And so this is something that is needed in the community. This is not just, this is their issue. No, this is our issue. So, folks, this is the start. This is a start. A much welcome news to all who are fighting this epidemic. The resources are much needed. The training is needed. Safety measures is needed. Transitioning to a non-abusive, and I don't really know what abuse, I mean, everybody know hitting, but there are so many dynamics to abuse, neglect. And so this money, this grant that they, we're waiting on Joe Biden to sign, they hopefully this Friday. They said by this Friday this week it would be signed. This would provide so many resources for so many organizations who are working tirelessly, like myself, every day, thinking about how can we help women and families get out of the situation? How can we educate them so they can make the decision to come out? Because we are going to give you that control back through education, edifying, and encouragement. Because the control has been taken from you. There are so many things have been taken from a survivor or an abuse victim where they feel vulnerable. We are there to help you get your power back, get your control back, get your life back to live again. And so those monies, that funding is just so vital. It's so important to have, because when you're running out of funding, you're running out of money, you know, it doesn't feel good to tell somebody, well, let me try to find something, or let's try to forward it on to another person. And, you know, you're trying to pass the buck to somebody else that may, and they may not. And then you have to have these women and these children, you know, encouraged. You know, and I feel bad for that situation, the other day of the young lady that and her kids were sleeping in the car here in St. Louis, and the baby did end up dying. But that story, that is one of many stories I hear all the time. I've been sleeping in my car for 4 days. I've been sleeping, me and my kids have been sleeping in my van for 6 days because we simply don't have the room and shelters. We don't have the money, ran out of money to even put them up in a hotel so we can make sure we can get them transitioned or send them off. It's just the money affects so many things, need help. Because the money ran out don't mean the abuse stopped or the neglect has stopped or the need is still not there. And so I am so happy. I don't know about nobody else, but I am so happy to hear that today. I was just putting it, when I was putting this together, I was just like, oh, thank you, Lord, you know, because, you know, this is just something that is just so much needed. It's just, you guys don't know the creativity as advocates, we as advocates, and I'm not just talking about myself. We try to come up with all kind of ways, you know, to ask people to help people and do things and we give out of ourselves. We give out of our own substance. You know, we put out our own. Don't know that we are here for the long haul. Jonathan's here for the long haul. We're here. We are here. You know, but I'm just so excited, and I am looking forward to seeing what we can do and what we can get to help the community, because it's about helping the community, giving back, helping the community to heal, helping the community move forward. Okay, so, you know, to live in an abusive-free environment, that's what this is about. Every parent, every person should think about prevention and how to get the resources we need and all of those things. And so we are here. That is what we're doing. Preventive services, intervention, crisis management, workshops, edification, all of those things. We're working with the community. We're working with the churches. We work with individuals. We're working with municipalities in the community because we are here. We are the community. We at Jonathan, we are spearheading and participate in all of these types of workshops and things that we're putting forth to combat this epidemic. This is an epidemic. And to be honest, it's getting better. It's getting, the abuse is getting more frequent. The abuse and the violence is getting more severe. Look at the news. We have to do something. We have to do something. We're on the front line. So we need the equipment, we need all the tools, we need all the armor that is necessary to help survivors fight, to help survivors get their control back, to help survivors overcome this situation. For you to help me, I'll help you. You know, reach out, because this is the start. This is the start. This is the start. So if you or someone you know need of help, you also can call the National Domestic Hotline, and that's at 1-800-799-7233, or the National Sexual Assault Hotline, and that's at 1-800-656-4673 in the U.S. You can also reach out to us at jodica.org, our website, or go to our social media page. You can call us at 1-800-292-2145. For those that Google Domestic Violence Hotline in your respective country, because there's information everywhere. I'm going to leave you with this Jeremiah 29:11. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." What this is saying is God is thinking peaceful thoughts of you. He's thinking loving thoughts of you. He wants to give you the end that you expect. And if your end is peaceful, if you expect at the end of your day to be joyful, or whatever it is that you expect, that you want, God wants to give you an expected end. It says that in Jeremiah. You can go and read it, 29:11. He wants to give you an expected end because he's thinking peaceful and loving thoughts of you, not things that's going to hurt and harm you. Loving and peaceful thoughts to give you what you want. Your expected peace, yours. Remember, JADFA is a community-based organization, and you are our global community, 365 days, all day, every day. With that being said, I want you to be safe, I want you to be well, and I want you to be whole this night.